Our scripture this morning for Pentecost Sunday is Psalm 16. Psalm 16. These are the words of God. A miktam of David. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to Yahweh, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out, or take their names on my lips. Yahweh is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lions have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless Yahweh who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set Yahweh always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, we're thankful for your word, for all the promises you've given to us that are yes and amen in the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask, Father, that you would confirm this word upon us, that your Spirit poured out upon us would confirm our faith, and that we would live in the light of your goodness. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. This psalm is a resurrection psalm. It was preached by Peter in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, to show that the resurrection of Jesus must occur. And Peter preached this very psalm on Pentecost. This psalm is what the grief-stricken disciples needed to hear. And this is the word that we need on this day, the day that we celebrate Pentecost and the giving of the Spirit to the church. Remember, the disciples of Jesus had finally gotten over the grief of the death of their friend, the sorrow of the death of their master, the abandonment of their Savior. And now that he had been among them, now they have to face the sorrow of moving on in a world without him. Jesus died for them. He rose from the dead for them, and he gave them the great commission to take over the world. Their emotions were a roller coaster of grief and sadness and of joy and of celebration. Just when things look good that the king is back, who overcame death and the forgiveness of sins for us, our king is here. The king now has to leave. Just when you would expect things to turn around, Jesus tells his disciples, it's better for you that I go away. Can you imagine walking with Jesus, talking with Jesus, eating with Jesus, touching Jesus, seeing with your own eyes his miracles, hearing with your own ears his very voice, and having him say to you, it's better that I go away? How is that better? It's better because Jesus says it is. This is what it means to live by faith. This is living by the promises of God. If Jesus says it's better, then it's better. They have to trust that the earthly absence of the one they love will work out for their good. And it does. In the absence of Jesus Christ, he ascends to the Father, to the throne, and he pours out his Holy Spirit upon the church so that he can be with them forever. To give them the comfort and the strength of faith that they need. These past 3 days have been horrible. One of our family members is gone. And God says that He will work this for good. He tells us that to live is Christ and to die is gain. And it is, because He said it. Somehow God will work this for good. He will. That is who He is, and that is what He promises to do. And our faith must hold Him to it. We must believe Him. We don't ignore the pain. As is evident in all the Psalms, we tell God that this hurts. We tell God that this sucks. And we live by faith in His promises. We cry out to David, like David in the Psalm, "Preserve me, O God, for in You I take refuge. I say to the Lord, You are my Lord, and I have no good apart from You." We tell God that this hurts, and we tell Him of our grief. We confess our faith in Him. "There is no good apart from You, O God. If good comes from this, it is only because You will do it. You will be the one who brings it about. Preserve us, be our refuge, and be our good." We cry out with the grieving faithful we find in God's Word. But we must do more than this. David goes on in verse 3 of the Psalm and he says, "As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight." We trust God and we delight in the saints. Part of grieving with hope is delighting in the saints. We delight in one another. This afternoon, we will share a meal together, and we share that meal in a bond of love generated by the Holy Triune God. He delights in us, we delight in one another. And it is this covenant community, together, in the delight of one another and the trust in God, that will pass through the shadow of despair. Faith, hope, and love are bound up in our midst, and we need all three. We will pass through the dark night of the soul. And this weight will bring to our communion of saints a deeper and more profound joy in the Lord of life, if we trust God and delight in one another. But we must also delight in the saints. We must delight in the departed. Do not shy away from your love for Tabitha. There is nothing wrong and everything right with saying to your neighbor this very day, "I love that girl." We delight in Tabitha even now. We love her yet. And we never say, "We loved her." We do not talk as though she's gone forever, out of existence, never to be seen again. That is not our faith. We love her. We delight in her. She has sloughed off the perishable and has been clothed with immortality. She is not absent from God's creation. She is simply distant from you and me. She is not gone forever. She is patiently and joyfully waiting to see you again. So we delight in her. We speak of her. We remind Eleanor of her, and we thank God for her. We take delight in her, and we smile when we remember that even in the winter, she would leave her shoes outside. And when we see her again in glory and in the resurrection, we'll bring her shoes in for her, because we love her. She is our family because we are Christ and Christ is hers. Christ cannot lose any that the Father has given to Him. And Tabitha has been given to Jesus by the Father. We miss her dearly. And we do not shy away from grief in some form of false piety. This hurts. Separation is painful. And this psalm is calling us to trust God through that pain. Trust him that Tabitha is secure. Trust him that you will see her again. Trust him that for this brief and momentary affliction, you and Tabitha will receive an eternal weight of glory full of joy that will far outstrip the grief of limited separation. This pain is brief compared to the joy that awaits us all. David says in verses 9 and 10, "Therefore my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh dwells secure, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption." We are to rejoice, people of God. We are to rejoice this day that our sister will not see corruption. We are to sing with all of our being, hoping in the promise of the resurrection from the dead. We are to sing, knowing that Tabitha is promised resurrection because of Jesus. She's died with Christ for the forgiveness of her sins, and she lives with Christ, and her life is hidden in God with him. We have hope because of Jesus. We keep going to Jesus. We sing about Jesus. We pray to Jesus. And finally, we've ascended into heaven this day. Tabitha is not here with us, but we are there with her. Every Lord's Day, we join the innumerable hosts of the Lord, the angels, the archangels, and all the saints in glorious praise. We sing with her of the ever-living God, and at this moment, we worship together. This is the promise of the ascension of Christ and the outpouring of the Spirit on earth. The body of Christ is one. This is the good news of the kingdom that overcomes the sad brokenness of this world. This is the hope that colors our grief with joy. Sadness and joy, sadness and hope can exist. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And for the joy set before us, we can endure our grief. When the loss of our friend and our sister pierces our hearts, throw your mind to the glories of Christ crucified. Throw your minds to Christ resurrected. Throw your minds to Christ ascended. And be the people God calls us to be, and grieve with hope. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, we're thankful for the promises of your word, and we're thankful that not one of them fails. Help us to be the people you've called us to be, to grieve with hope, to rejoice in your salvation, always giving thanks. We're thankful that pain and suffering are but momentary compared to the joy in your presence. Help us to rejoice with our sister. By the presence of your Spirit, the helper of all, the comforter of your saints, bring us peace in our fellowship. You are our refuge. You are our hope. And there is only good found in you. Be to us our God and Father. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand together and sing, "Lead On, O King Eternal," on page 312. Brothers and sisters, the family of God, now is the time for the exercise of our faith. Believe what you have been taught, and live according to what you believe. We are Christians, and this bread and this wine speaks many things to us today. Jesus gave himself for us. He was our burden bearer, and now like him, we must bear burdens. And when we receive his body and blood, we are committing ourselves to one another to do the same. Alan and Eleanor need us, the family of God. And we will be called to serve them. May this bread and this wine remind you all that it is better to give than to receive. This bread and wine also remind us that because of the death of Jesus, we live. As you eat this bread and you drink this wine, confess in your heart this truth: death be damned. Christ is risen. Christ is victorious. Death has no claim, because the Lord of glory lives to die no more, and we with him. At the table of the Lord, brothers and sisters, we must exercise our faith. Now is the time to sing louder of the wonderful mercies of God. Now is the time to rejoice in the defeat of our enemies. May this fill your hearts with joy as we sing the Agnus Dei.